Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC 913 on a Monday morning. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. It's the Roundtable panel, and great panel today, hopefully. Mike Spain is here, former associate editor of the Times Union. Political consultant and lobbyist Libby Post is here. Investigative journalist Rosemary Armeo and WAMC's Alan Chartok. Good morning, all.
Good morning.
I'm getting my fingers ready for because we're going to be at Cafe Lena on Friday night.
Oh really?
Don't you know?
You're playing the old banjo? O'clock.
Yeah. Well, it's the Berkshire Ramblers.
Right. You're not doing a solo banjo performance?
No. As a matter of fact, no.
Okay, but that's great. So, what time do you guys hit the stage?
8 o'clock.
Yeah.
8 o'clock. Cafe Lena.
Is that
Lena.
Kind of past your bedtime, Alan?
Oh, yes, it is.
Ouch.
It is.
Now, when the Berkshire Ramblers do a gig, is there a lot of partying before the show in the green room?
No.
No?
No. However, I will say it's a terrific benefit. We never take money, and it's a benefit for Cafe Lena. So
cool.
Either you can come to hear us or you can come to support Cafe Lena. Which
or
is
both.
Terrific. Yeah, or
right.
Both.
Well, you know, as far as political chat shows go, this is the gift that keeps on giving. It's the next week of impeachment hearings.
That's the president. Right?
Democratic House Speaker Nancy Pelosi invited President Trump to testify in front of investigators in the House impeachment inquiry ahead of a week that will see several key witnesses appear publicly. We have, we have Jennifer Williams, Morrison.
Never Trumper.
Right. Vindman will be there. That's tomorrow. And Volcker, right? And then we have on Wednesday, Laura Cooper, Sondland. Thursday, we have Fiona Hill. It's going to be a busy week, but Nancy Pelosi threw it out there. Yeah, you know, if you want some exculpatory evidence, come on and face the panel, President Trump.
Well, I have a question for you, Ray. Does that mean for those people who are marking their schedules that there'll be less panel this week?
Presumably they'll start at, I don't know what time they start.
Probably
tomorrow,
start
but nine.
Yeah.
I assume that tomorrow and Wednesday will be a wash as far as the roundtable panel, and probably Friday as on Thursday as well.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So the answer is no, there will not be a panel.
I don't know. I asked the producer.
Who knows?
I'm the fill-in host. I don't know anything.
Well, what do we know?
Hey, Rosemary, you brought a guest. Who's this?
This is a longtime friend. She used to be a student. She used to be a staffer. Now she's just like a friend. She bosses me around.
She's sitting behind me.
Yes, a
recovering
journalist.
Doesn't have a weapon, right?
She does not have a weapon. You're safe.
Okay, fair enough. I like to sit with my back to the wall in most situations. Chuck Schumer echoed the suggestion. He said, "Hey, what's President Trump hiding? Come on out. I mean, if you're the president, you know, this is not the... If it goes to trial, you might want to speak, but this is not the spot to do it."
I don't know. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say what was an interesting sideline Nancy Pelosi said when she talked about exculpatory evidence. She said X meaning not and culpatory meaning culprit. You know, you're not a culprit. So
right.
She had to explain the Latin to him because quid pro quo got all messed up.
Right.
Well, I hope he doesn't. I want him to do what Prince Andrew did.
Yeah.
Come and talk in public. Let's clear it all up.
He sure helped things along, didn't he, Rosemary?
Oh, my goodness. Was that ever? I should ask Libby, the public relations expert on this panel. How'd he do on that?
Well, be honest, I haven't seen it because I just got back from being away.
Okay.
I did read some headlines. I read the original, the lead, and it just looked a little weak.
He said it was. It was sort of apologetic.
A PR way of describing.
It was sort of apologetic. He said he shouldn't have accepted the invitation, and he stayed there for several days.
Is Epstein's invitation you're talking about
Yes,
go to his home?
Yes. Oh, thank you.
We're talking about Andrew now.
Yes.
Andrew.
Okay. All right.
I
got to take notes
Prince
here.
Andrew.
Yes. All right. Go. We'll continue.
The other Prince Andrew.
Everybody's talking about the royals because the crown went on.
That's right.
Last night,
and he was actually born in the one episode,
really?
A couple of the episodes that I watched last night, yes.
Oh, you've
Andrew
been,
oh, you've
been binging.
We watched three, but I fell asleep. So we're going to go back and watch probably the two and three because I was sort of in and out. But it's really very good. And I think Olivia Colman, while I do miss Claire Foy, I have to say.
Yeah, we did too.
I mean.
We're on another tangent right
now.
Yeah, I think I walked in the wrong room here.
But Olivia Colman's doing a great job. As Queen Elizabeth. Bailey.
So, Ray, you're thinking that perhaps Trump will not
accept
the invitation.
Hang on, let me
Schumer
just give our
Pelosi
listeners
and
the email to complain. The email to complain is panel@wamc.org, panel@wamc.org. Letters brief, please, on topic. For God's sake, please proofread them, because we'll read them as is and bad things can happen. No abbreviations, please. So it's panel@wamc.org. Big week coming in the hearings. I'd love to get the panel's reaction to the first week of hearings and whether it moved the meter at all.
Well, I think, and I've been saying this all along, that the big issue is not with the Reds, not with the Blues, but with the Purples.
Absolutely.
And the Purples have got to be aghast at what they are hearing right now. And the idea that you have a mess where a president of the United States is tweeting real time against a woman who everybody knows was a superb ambassador. Everybody says it. In fact, when the Republicans are about to try to destroy her one way or the other, they all say, thank you for your service. You're a wonderful ambassador. So it didn't.
It's sort of
like when
you say, you know I respect you. And then that's what it reminded me of, Alan.
Not at all. In fact, I do respect you, Rose, and Libby, and everybody else. You guys are great.
I think they saw attacking her, the Republican men on the Intelligence Committee, attacking Maria Yovanovitch, the highly esteemed former Ukraine ambassador, would be toxic for them. So they took our own North Country Congresswoman Lee Stefanik and yielded time to her, so the hard questions could come from her, because she's the only woman Republican on the panel. And interestingly enough, I read today in the Times Union that her opponent in this
Tedra Cobb
has gotten $1 million in donations
in the
last couple of days.
And George Conway, Kellyanne's husband, maxed out.
He sent her a maximum amount.
He donated $2,800.
Which is the most you legally can give.
And took Stefanik out to the woodshed and said, you went to Harvard, you're a lawyer.
You know how to read.
You know how to read the law. You know that you were in the wrong.
To be fair, though, Stefanik also raised a record amount, both her and Tedra Cobb.
Yeah.
They didn't just double or triple. They went monstrously huge on the number of Twitter. The hearings have turned that race into now a nationally watched race.
But let's remember that this is the same Stefanik who was a huge critic of the president when he was putting himself forward as a potential candidate. Mm-hmm. She had incredibly incendiary words.
So did Lindsey Graham.
President. Yeah. Well,
She has she has voted against him. She has
a rather bipartisan
record. Yeah.
But this is sort of unique to WAMC, because, you know, here we are. We cover that whole territory in a way that nobody else does. It is something that this is happening right here. Now, the question is, Tedra Cobb got pretty well, I guess the word is schmattied. We used to say that in gin rummy.
She got beat.
Is that allowed?
I don't know.
We
could bleep it out.
No, schmatta is just a rag. Yeah, so schmatti means
trash is what George called her and got into trouble from a lot of feminists who don't think, again, no means no, so you can't say bad names to a woman, not to renew our fight, Libby.
Oh,
but
for Pete's sake.
There it was, that they didn't want to even take his money. And I'm glad that he did it, and I'm glad that he was incendiary.
Well, which raises another question. We keep hearing about Anonymous, right, who writes the book?
Yes.
Yes.
So Anonymous is somebody. Now, I'm just going to give you a couple of circumstances here. You have George and his wife.
Conway.
George Conway and Kellyanne.
We're talking about Kellyanne Conway and her husband.
The pillow talk.
Yeah, that's right.
So one wonders what the pillow talk is like there. And one also wonders.
Now I'm going to really use the 7-second delay.
And one wonders who who Anonymous is. But wouldn't that be something if that's
it's
what
him
it turned out?
If it's her.
Yeah, it's probably co-written by three guys, and one name is Kelly, one is Mattis. And
yeah. To get back to the impeachment hearings.
Thank you. Thank you, Rosemary.
Speaking out of both sides of your mouth.
Oh, yes.
To get back to the impeachment hearings, here's what I enjoyed, that at the same time that Hannity and the other clowns on Fox were talking about, oh, this is a snooze fest, this is boring, oh, who cares, ratings on Fox have never been higher. And so that means people, I don't know whether their minds are changing or not, but they are watching and they are interested. And that has to be a good thing.
Well, that's the question. Is anyone's mind changed? We saw a lot of great theater last week. Did we see anything impeachable thus far? Now, we have some firsthand testimony coming this week.
I think it's way too soon.
The Republicans have argued that all we've had is hearsay, people who heard about the conversation. And that's going to crumble this week because people who are actually on the conversation.
Sondland is among those who have had direct conversations with the president about this.
And they heard some closed door from a couple of people who had direct knowledge last week as well.
Well, the thing about this is that Trump's argument that this is a ridiculous farce of a proceeding and I won't cooperate, that argument crumbles in the face of a complaint that we're not hearing from anybody who knows firsthand. Well, let's hear from them, and that's up to him.
Yeah, the hypocrisy is the president says you can't go and talk, and then he and his people say they're not listening to us.
Correct.
Oh, really?
Right, and Elise Stefanik has been promoting the Republican argument that it really doesn't matter. There never was a formal investigation announced by Ukraine against Joe Biden and his son's involvement in the energy company, and they got their money.
Mike and Libby, I wanted to ask you a question about that district. It has its purple elements, doesn't it? It's not only Kirsten Gillibrand's old district.
Redrawn even more red than it was.
I mean, this was originally Jerry Solomon's district back in the 80s.
But Owens kept winning there, twice.
Oh, Bill Owens won up there twice.
In a three-way race one of the times.
Yep.
Right, but
yeah.
It was a different map. And it is drawn to be red, but there are urban areas within this district, and there are people even in the non-urban areas who are independents and Dems.
So it's up for grabs.
It is up for grabs, and I think it's not going to be easily up for grabs, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. But I think the more Stefanik opens her mouth, the more the independents in that district will have a question mark.
Maybe. There are, believe it or not, a lot of Democrats or left-wingers in this room. But if you look at the conservative press, Stefanik did a good job.
Of course that's what they're going to say.
She is very popular. She handles herself very well in public meetings. And she skirts the issue when pressed about President Trump's behavior and his actions. And she is like a lot of other Republicans. She just goes silent and sort of smiles and works for things that are good in the district.
So what do you make of Trump having to rush to Walter Reed on Saturday night?
Oh, you want to start rumors? You want to have a little conspiracy theory?
Before we even go there, I want to deal with Mike's efforts to be fair. But the fact of the matter is, so much more fun when we're unfair.
Right.
The fact of the matter is, here's the president literally with his arm around her talking about how wonderful she is and how great she is.
And that's at Watertown at the military base where she has pushed to get funding for, that base, to keep that base going. And that's a major part of the economy in a very sluggish economy, North Country. She is well-liked, and she did really well last time around.
Okay, so neither of you
What was the word you used, Alan?
So neither of you think she can lose?
It's going to be hard to beat.
What'll be interesting is the television airwaves and the radio airwaves in the North Country. Too bad the WAMC doesn't take paid political ads. Mm. Are going to be completely crazy with ads with this much money going into the campaign.
I predict she's going to lose the election.
All right.
Write it down.
And the reason I'm predicting that is I think there are a lot of people who just are sick to death of these Trumpian antics. So I think she may well lose.
I think that there may be a little echo chamber going on here. Now, there's been a lot of talk pre-election and through the last 3 years. I think that perchance everyone might be clouding their better judgment with a little wishful thinking.
I'm not wishful thinking.
I know you're a political scientist.
I'm not.
Everyone but you.
I think there's a mood for change. Now look, you got Kentucky. You got they lost the Trump went out there and personally campaigned for the Republican candidate for governor and he lost.
That's right.
And Louisiana.
And Louisiana.
Oh, right.
I know something about
I think that there's a wave coming, or the continuation of the wave.
Well, yeah, the blue.
No, go ahead, Mike.
I was just going to say, in the moments before the break.
Thank you, Mike. We have 1 minute.
I know that Kentucky was an aberration. The Republican governor there was not well-liked, and they had a very conservative Democrat run against him.
But and you still same, had Trump come in there and try to save
I
him.
Know that, but the same in Louisiana. Yeah. It wasn't about a national issue. It was a very, very conservative Democrat
right.
who
he might as well be a Republican if
right,
you look
right,
at his stance.
Yeah. But the blemish, of course, is Trump went both places and said, "You got to help me out here. You got to win for me," and it didn't
they
happen.
Didn't.
And that does hurt momentum. It doesn't make it. Look
it's another
good.
PR failure, as right. was Prince
exactly.
Andrew. Yeah.
All right, we have to take a break here. This is the roundtable panel, and we're just getting going now. Mike Spain, a former associate editor of the Times Union, political consultant, Libby Post, investigative journalist Rosemary Armeo, Rosemary's friend, WAMC's Alan Shartok. If you want to join the conversation, we'll get to your emails coming up. The email address here, now write it down, panel@wamc.org, panel@wamc.org. Keep the letters brief. There'll be plenty of them, and there's more roundtable coming up. And welcome back to the roundtable on WAMC. It's 9:33. It is now a Monday morning, and we just found out from Rob Chacon, our engineer, this morning that the hearings are all scheduled to start at 9 a.m. this week. So those days, alas, there will be no roundtable panel. So if you have something to say, get your licks in today. Panel@wamc.org is the email address. Rosemary Armeo, her friends keep multiplying. Now there's a couple in the room. Who's this other guy?
This is Ben Keckley.
Yeah.
He is a banker, lives in Boston,
yeah.
and we're old friends. He's very interested in politics. He knows more about it than most of us.
You know, the banks are made of marble. Did you know that?
With a guard at every door.
That's right.
And the vaults are stuffed with silver that the workers.
Right. He doesn't have a microphone in front of his
That's
face
good.
To defend himself.
That's a good thing. And Alan Shartok is here. He has a microphone in front of his face. And, you know, sometimes it's a good thing. Libby Post is here. Mike Spain is here. Alan, we have some letters.
We do, big boy. And we heard from Kevin, who said, Trump testifying. Good morning, esteemed panel. Since Clinton was under oath back in his impeachment, shouldn't Trump also testify? Mueller gave him an early Christmas present when he did not press him to testify. Teflon Trump will get away again, and that's from Kevin.
All right, Kevin.
All right, we also heard from Freda. Never say never Trumpers. Perhaps this seems trivial in light of possible high crimes and impeachment, but I want to make a plea to the media. Please know that by accepting the use of the phrase never Trumpers, we are allowing Trump to change our lexicon. He made up the term, and it seems as if in minutes the media accepted it as part of their reporting. Please, media, refuse to speak or write in the faux term. He wants to be
Eponymous.
Yeah.
So like a big animal.
What do you think about that, Rosemary?
I'm the one who used the term, and I did it derisively. I do see the point of it. He wins with those nicknames, too. And if you'll notice, Elise Stefanik does that constantly with her opponent. I'm not going to repeat it, but she uses a derogatory, well, in a conservative district, it's a derogatory term.
A very conservative.
By the way, I don't know that that Freda is correct. I don't think we use here at WMC. I haven't heard us using the idea that his name was for opponents is never Trumpers. That we've done that here.
Well, I did it this morning. I think that's what prompted the letter.
Well, there we go. And then we've heard there are a lot of other people who are writing letters.
Oh yeah.
We heard from Paula.
Oh hi.
Paula. Paula says, just for your information, Elise has a political science degree. She does not have a law degree. I don't know if this is true. She went straight from Harvard to GW Bush White House. Her interaction helping Paul Ryan prep for VP run is what led to setting her up to run for Congress. Elise has tried to appear moderate. This week is the first time she has gone full Nunes in public, and that's from Paula.
She's the AOC of the right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. She's a young face for the Republican Party that needs a young and female right. face.
But and she's got a PAC.
And that's remarkable.
I mean, she has a national PAC that's getting more Republican women to run. Yeah.
Yes, except that it's not working.
I know. But
it's because there are
nannies. Yeah, yeah. Right.
And the number of Republican women is actually going down
right.
significantly.
Right.
So that isn't working.
So tomorrow on the hearings that begin at 9 right here on WAMC, we have Tim Morrison, who I believe was an NSC employee, who Sondland talked to him about
He's
the Ukraine matters.
Yeah.
He mentioned that he discussed things with Trump. So again, that's one level of separation from what we should hear from Sondland later in the week. We have Jennifer Williams, who's an aide to Mike Pence, and Alexander Vindman, the Director for European Affairs at the National Security Council, as well as Kurt Volker, former U.S. Special Envoy to Ukraine. That is tomorrow, Wednesday. Sondland himself will also hear from Laura Cooper, Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense, David Hale, State Department official. And on Thursday, it's Fiona Hill, former NSC staffer for Europe. And so that's a big day of broadcasts here.
Yes, it is. We'll be doing it because it's right. Now, we have heard from some people who have said they'd rather have the panel than the live broadcast. However, we're going to do our duty, which is to let everybody hear this stuff for themselves, don't you think? And then we heard from Roger, who said intimidation of witnesses. The president's public results and intimidation of the ambassador while she was testifying was absolutely reprehensible. Another addition to the multitude of reprehensible bullying and irresponsible comments. It could lead to even more related impeachable offenses that should be added to the list. If these insulting tweets came from anywhere else, their Twitter account would have been canceled long ago.
Now, let me ask a question. Is insulting someone intimidating? That's good enough. Is insulting somebody intimidating them? In other words, this president, he has clearly not much of a filter. I mean, he's had sitting secretaries of state that he goes and insults on Twitter.
I think
he's
it
our
has
boss.
The impact, pardon me,
I think
it,
sorry,
has, it has the impact of intimidating others from stepping forward because they know they will be hit with a barrage of
insults.
Painful insults.
But that's what
tweets.
He does.
I know, but others jump in. I mean, everybody jumps in and retweets and jumps in and adds their own words.
Clearly the bar is a little lower as far as decorum these days.
Absolutely.
As an ambassador with a sterling, reputation, is doing her thing. What kind of president, with any kind of dignity at all,
right.
would do what
right.
he's
well,
doing?
I mean, he's demeaned the office. He's just demeaned the office. And
he's her boss. He has no right to be intimidating with mean tweets himself. But the thing with Trump is, when he starts off like this, he urges his, willingly or not, his followers to take action.
To pile on, and that's where the
trolling online, and worse, there have been physical actions taken by his followers, and that is scary.
But in fairness, legal experts say that because he tweeted while she was reading testimony, she was unaware of the tweet, and it was only because
Schiff announced it,
reading it out right. loud. So he
legal experts said that, or was that Jim Jordan said that?
No, that was not.
It would seem to be a fairly sensible legal position, right?
The legal experts I listened to all said that there is no element of time in an intimidation.
You just pick your legal.
That's
expert.
Right. That's exactly. what we do in America. It's a la carte.
And Jim wrote to us and said, "Dear all, great show always. Could Trump suspend the election?"
Oh, Alan's been saying that for years.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't
not
think
true.
So.
No, you haven't been saying that.
No, right. I'm not saying that there is.
What's his motive to do that? Just to stay in power? You mean?
Yeah.
No, he's going to win the election. He doesn't have to suspend it.
Well, if he thinks he's going to win the election, he doesn't have to. If he thinks he's not going to win the election, then some strange
yeah,
things can
happen. Yeah, but how can he do that? Constitutional.
I don't think he can.
Same way he stopped the emoluments.
No, he can't. He can't. This would be, you would have
that fake constitutional.
Yeah,
part.
The fake constitution.
Phony, yeah, that phony thing. You know, we have to have elections.
You know, the thing is that states control the elections.
And then we heard from Joyce in Gansford, who said Stefanik went to Florida to fundraise with the right-wing conspiracy theorist, Islamophobic Laura Loomer. Is that a real name, Laura Loomer? Yeah. True Colors Coming Out, from Joyce in Gansford. And then we heard from Tim. What is the status of Bolton, Mulvaney, Pompeo, Giuliani before Congress? How can they ignore a lawful subpoena? Are they in future legal jeopardy? Now, I think this is the reason a lot of people are showing up, because they, you know, they talk to their families. They don't want to go to prison in the long run. And they say, well, right now, the president and his handpicked attorney general will not enforce any of this. But down the road, this may lead to real trouble, and we may end up going to jail as a result of this. So
aren't all attorney generals handpicked?
Yes, they are.
Yes,
all
I was going to point that out. But that was an unfair adjective.
No, it wasn't unfair.
Yes, it
but
was.
But no, it wasn't unfair. If you read anything about this guy, it's turning out to be more and more that instead of being the Attorney General of the United States,
no, he's his lawyer.
He is turning out to be just.
But it is true that that's not unique to Trump. That anybody can do that and wants that.
Well, yeah, don't you think though that some of these people are using the subpoena as the excuse, quote around excuse, to go public with what they've wanted to do, and they can say, "I was forced. I
had
to go public."
That's exactly right.
And it gets the word out there, and they're doing what they really in their heart wanted to do from the beginning.
Well, NBC now has a story that came out at 9:27 this morning that Trump is strongly considering testifying before the impeachment probe in light of recent comments from Speaker
Maloney.
There you go.
Pelosi.
He'll start talking about
it's
the
one
strawberries.
More distraction. Right.
Yeah, the next thing will be, I really want to.
I really want to, but yeah.
He wanted to talk to Mueller, too,
he's
right?
He's
going to
be in the hospital.
Yeah. Oh, well, that goes back to the weekend visit to Walter Reed, right?
Yeah. I'm trying to get it in.
It was an unannounced exam. Stop. All right, go ahead, Alan.
Well, no, you know, the reputable news media are making a great deal of this unscheduled stop at Walter Reed, and we don't know. Anyway,
I am sorry. The health of a president is a matter of national concern. We worried about hemorrhoids with one of our previous presidents. Why would we not be talking about a midnight visit to Walter Reed by the president?
Maybe it was a Big Mac that came back at him, right?
Yeah, he is an overweight man.
Was it indeed
man.
At midnight?
Yes. Well, that's when he came back.
Didn't Eisenhower have a heart attack and they said he was on a golfing outing?
FDR was given a clean bill of health before he ran for his fourth term. He only he was 63 years old and he only lasted a couple of months. Mm.
Tim says, Bolton, Mulvaney, Pompeo, Giuliani. What is the status of Bolton, Mulvaney, Pompeo, Giuliani before Congress? Can they ignore? Did we read this one?
Yes, we did. But it sounded so good.
And we went in many directions. Yeah.
Okay,
yes,
Roger
we did.
Said, intimidation of witnesses. The president's public insults and intimidation of the ambassador while she was testifying was absolutely reprehensible. Another addition to the multitude of reprehensible bullying and irresponsible comments. It could lead to even more related impeachable offenses that should be added to the list. All right.
Okay.
And Don says, new request from Trump. In response to recent polls showing that South Bend Mayor Pete Buttigieg is leading in Iowa, will Donald Trump call the Ukrainian president and say, forget about the Bidens, please do me a favor and check into Buttigieg? and then we heard from Stefanik.
Really? She wrote in?
Really?
I'll be darned.
No.
Oh.
Then we heard about Stefanik.
Ah.
I live in Representative Stefanik's district, and I can assure you that this district is majority conservative and not by a small margin. As a liberal Democrat, I'm a part of a small minority, and thanks from Daniel.
All right, let's take a quick break here. I saw an AP headline this morning, and I want you guys to comment on it. It says, weary Democratic voters balk at new presidential candidates. This is the roundtable. You can write us at panel@wamc.org. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, Libby Post, Mike Spain also here, various other folks. We'll take a break. We'll be back. What do you got there? Jimmy Heath there, Rob Ciccone, engineer? Nice. It's the roundtable, and it's a great time we're having here. 9:47 on a Monday morning. Alan Chartok, Mike Spain, Rosemary Armeo, Libby Post, and you at panel@wamc.org if you would like to join the conversation with a brief email, a reckon, if you will. Weary Democratic voters balk at new presidential candidates is the headline on the AP.
Who wrote that?
I don't know who wrote the headline, but the piece was written by Steve Peoples, AP national political writer.
More than one.
He writes, the number of Democrats running for president is growing as the first votes of the primary approach, and voters have a clear message. Stop. Former Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick roiled the race last week by launching a surprise bid. New York billionaire Michael Bloomberg likely to do the same in coming days. A little editorial in there.
Well, could I just beg everybody to listen at 1 o'clock to my interview with Deval Patrick and his wife several years ago at the Colonial Theater, I think you'll get a pretty good understanding of who the guy is and why I am so much in support of him. Nevertheless, I hope you will, because it really is an extraordinary, experience. You could have heard of pin drop.
Thursday at 1?
Thursday at 1.
There are 16. There were 16 Democrats running before Patrick got in, and presumably Bloomberg will be the 18th coming up this week. Too much?
Well, let me ask you. Let me say this to you. I don't think Deval Patrick will have a huge chance to turn it all around in this short time, except if one thing happens, and that is if the past president of the United States comes out with a strong endorsement for him. Because if that happens, then I think he's going to do very, very well.
Rosemary, did you see what the president, I should say the former president Barack Obama, said over the weekend? The average American doesn't think we have to completely tear down the system and remake it?
Yeah, I did. And I think he's right. That's, of course, hurts Elizabeth Warren and helps Pete Buttigieg, but it's true. And Biden also has supported that, that let's build on what's on Obamacare. It just makes sense.
Does that surprise you that he would say that this time?
No, I think that I don't think Obama will make a statement in favor of Deval Patrick or Biden or any of his friends on there because of that. They're all his friends, and he has to support whoever gets picked. However, he does not want to see the party swing as far left as it appears it is under Warren and Bernie.
Even Warren is getting ready to pivot. It's been reported that she has sort of a plan B on if the if she were to win the presidency and the Senate remain Republican, she would use her executive authority to, you know, to basically undo what Trump has done through his executive authority to the Affordable Care Act and put strengths back in and help bolster it. And I think if that comes out and that becomes sort of a major narrative, it may mollify some of the people that think she's being too radical.
It still bothers me, and I like Warren very much, how she mishandled this. First, because she insisted on we have to do it this way. When the president won't get to decide, it's going to be a negotiated settlement. She didn't have to go that way.
Yeah, but it's
and
the way to wait.
Let me just finish my last thing, and then I'll shut up. Yeah, the second thing is that it became, because of her insistence mostly, a key point in the Democratic debates. And so it made all the Democrats, they're all arguing about how they would do Medicare, and bigger issues were lost. It was not a good show for Democrats overall.
Are you done?
I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you for letting me interrupt. Because you
Thank
made
you
that clear.
That. Thank you.
Okay. So wait a second now. Warren knows that in order to win the primary, she has to appeal to the leftist strain in the Democratic establishment, right? So she does this. I don't blame her for it. And you're quite right. What happens is traditionally you win the nomination, then you run as fast as you can back towards the center. We know that's going to happen. We already see some indications of that. And nevertheless, there are many people who feel, and I think that Barack Obama, by saying, let's not go too left, is definitely pointing at both Bernie and Elizabeth Warren. Mm-hmm. You can't deny that.
Now, interesting that CNN showing a poll that Buttigieg is now a 9-point leader over Warren in the latest CNN poll.
Well, that's
poll,
right.
In Iowa, that is.
Well, that's right. But Iowa is pretty good because, I have to tell you, when you're in the lead in Iowa, the chances are you're going to go on, and history will show this, to be the president of the United States or to be get the Democratic nomination.
The premise that the candidates have to veer left during the primary is now, maybe that equation's changing to some extent.
Well, that's why the past president of the United States, Barack Obama, spoke up the other day, and he said, let's not make a mistake here. We have to win this election.
Right. We have to remember, you know, despite all the new rhetoric that's coming out in the Democratic Party with AOC and all those folks, we are a basically center-right country. And that's basically where we elect our presidents from.
Sure. Do you want to win the election or don't you?
Right, right. So you have to be realistic. I love the concept of Medicare for all. But honestly, I think strengthening Obamacare is the right way to go here, which was a pathway to Medicare for all in a way that
eventually
in a way that everybody could get on board with it. You know, the fact of the matter is some of the states that voted so solidly for Trump have been hurt by his actions, cutting food stamps. You know, the Trump people think, and Stephen Miller propagates this because he's a right, you know, he's a white nationalist, that the only people on food stamps are black people. And that's simply not true. The majority of people on food stamps in this country are poor white people, you know, and that's been cut. Medicaid cuts have hindered people's access to health care. That what they did to Obamacare has decimated other people's access to
healthcare. So will all of those people, Libby, then turn around and say,
It played a role in Kentucky.
Yeah, it did play a role in Kentucky. It did play a role, I think, in Louisiana. It's hard to tell whether or not those people are going to vote their racist intentions because that's why they voted for Trump, or whether they're going to vote for the health and well-being of their children.
Well, it's a little harsh.
I don't agree with Louisiana.
Oh, no, that's a little harsh. People voted for Trump for a whole bunch of reasons.
But
this is one of them. But people voted for him because they wanted to try something different. They were frustrated, and they didn't see any response for their plight coming from the Democratic candidate.
That argument worked in 2016, 3 years later. When
I know, it's very different
started,
now, right. but don't say everybody who voted for Trump is a racist.
You can't say everybody, but the studies show that that is the majority reason why he won.
I'd like to read those studies.
I will send you a bunch of them.
Right. Okay. I love this panel.
It is. It really is about race. Yep. He came out from the starting block calling all Mexicans rapists and drug
dealers. I know
dealers.
He appealed to racist
and he
tendencies
did.
In people, and he did bring racist
and he's given
people
them,
on.
And he's given them
he
license.
Didn't do it. There's not enough to elect him. Other people elected him, too.
All right, let's do a couple of quick letters here, and then we'll take a break for news.
Eric says, good morning, panel. Trump did not invent the term Never Trump. This was an invention of a group of self-named Republicans during the 2016 primary. It is a common term in news reporting. And that's from our friend Eric the Director in Richmond, Massachusetts.
Eric the Director.
Okay. And then we heard from Mary in the Berkshires who said, what is the penalty for refusing a legal congressional subpoena? I love this letter, by the way.
Yeah, you should ask.
It's astonishing that anyone would refuse a subpoena from Congress. Will they be fined, or is there a jail term possible? Do they have to lawyer up? If so, how much, on average, might that cost? And that's from Mary in the Berkshires.
It'll cost plenty.
Lawyers cost money.
Yeah, they sure do.
And Doug says, Elise Stefanik, listening to the panel this morning, I find myself in total disagreement with Alan's statement that Elise Stefanik will lose her election. She's running the most conservative area of New York, and while backing Trump while she can, she is not a wacko righty, and I see her winning in a landslide. By the way, I am your basic Bay State liberal, but I try to use common sense, and that's from Doug.
Bolton, I'm having trouble reading Bolton. Now, you know, does he want to testify or does he not want to testify? I can't quite figure. He says, I've got more information that you don't know about, but that there's the lawsuit.
Twist my arm.
He wants to come in as the white knight.
Does he or does he not?
I think he's building suspense.
And the other utterance, which we are ignoring here, is still from Giuliani, who is saying, the president better not turn on me because I have plenty of insurance,
he said.
Got the goods.
He has said such.
Yes, he has. You know, if you could only write down everything that is said, the main person and the periphery.
So it doesn't count?
No, you just can't make it up, is what
I'm
saying.
We
live in interesting times.
Saturday Night Live is now based on pure fact.
Because they can't make up something more bizarre.
Right, you can't make this stuff up.
So why is Giuliani saying something like this?
Because
maybe he was making a joke.
He doesn't want to be Michael Cohen'd.
Right.
No.
Right.
Yes. No. I don't think so. No. Because as Freud said, there is no joke.
That's right. Yeah. There is no joke.
No, I think he's saying this because he's afraid of what the president
Giuliani might do. He is under an investigation. There's his one of his co-conspirators is likely to talk against him.
Yeah.
He can make all the threats he wants. He's in as much trouble as a man can be in.
Well, legally. But of course the word pardon comes into play here.
Pardon me? Yeah.
I mean,
well,
I think a lot
think
of these people
all of them, if we can pardon war criminals,
when will Roger
Stone
be pardoned? Anyone
well,
want
that's
to predict
the issue.
How soon?
Giuliani and right. Manafort, they all, I think.
So if you're the president sitting in the White House and the consideration is whether to pardon Roger Stone, what are you thinking? If I pardon him, you know, that would be a good signal. But if I don't pardon him, you know, that might be better for me politically.
All right, let's take a break here. Our email address is panel@wamc.org, panel@wamc.org. You know the rules. No attachments, no viruses, for God's sake. Short to the point. Don't abbreviate the yada, yada, yada. Alan Chartok is here. Rosemary Armeo, Libby Post, Mike Spain, Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. We shall break for news and be back. Hey, welcome back to the show. It's the Roundtable. 10:05 is the time. Monday morning, Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. Alan and I have been arguing, so we're in mid-season form already. Alan's here, Rosemary Armeo, Libby Post, Mike Spain, and of course you at panel@wamc.org. And you got another stack of letters there.
Okay, I'll keep reading. Okay. Sherry writes, Bill Barr, I haven't heard a peep since the first transcript came out. From what I understand, not only did Trump tell the new Ukrainian president that he should be in touch with Rudy Giuliani, but also with Bill Barr. Brett says, candidates, dear Roundtable, I too am weary of these late-to-the-game candidates. Why is no one running against Trump for the Republican nomination? There are two.
Oh, well, Mark Sanford dropped off.
Sanford dropped out.
Yeah. You know, why didn't Bloomberg stay a Republican? And
because he's not a Republican.
Well, he never was.
But
the point is, he was at one time,
yes,
right?
He was because the Democrats, this was back in the 80s or whatever it was, wouldn't let him play in their sandbox. So he had enough money, he went and played in the other sandbox, got himself elected.
What does it say about your own moral fiber? If you're willing to just float in the wind like that and change parties.
It means you're bipartisan, Ray.
It means the parties are changing. It has nothing to do with morality.
Right. Back in the 80s, it was Rockefeller Republicans. There were still pro-choice Republicans in the state Senate. It was a different ballgame.
Okay. This idea that you have to express one idea as a politician, stick with it for the rest of your life, or you're flip-flopping, is stupid.
Well, back and forth, though, ought to say something, right?
It's not back and forth.
Okay,
no.
Whatever.
There are reasons not to support him as a candidate or as a mayor, but that's not one of them.
All right.
Rosemary. Okay, esteemed panel, says Eve. Yes, I balk at the introduction of new candidates after months of debates and campaign work by the Democrats in the field already. Why are these new guys so late? Do they feel they are so special that they do not have to do the preparatory work like all the others did? Even Rexford, where everybody's a king, proposed the time. But here's the question I have for you, and that is, if this is the case, is it possible that their motive was that they thought that the Democrats who were there were going to lose?
They were so unspecial, not that they were
that
special.
They want to do something? I think so. Michelle says, Alan was right. Dear esteemed panel, Alan is correct in his thinking that Elise will not be reelected. Ooh. There's many, many... I have to reassess now. There's many, many Dems who are actively working toward the district. Blue, Michelle in Greenwich, New York.
Now, why would you have to reassess? Because somebody agrees with you?
It was a joke.
Oh, okay.
It is interesting that the last time we were hearing sentiment like this was the 19th District and John Faso.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and right. He couldn't lose, and
right.
Then he did
and,
lose.
Yeah, all the Democrats in the counties around it mobilized to work in the 19th District to canvass, to give
this
money.
This year it's going to be the 21st.
Exactly.
Everyone is focused in this area on the
and
21st.
And if she raised...
$1 million.
Nobody thought Kirsten Gillibrand could ever beat John Sweeney in a version of that North Country district.
That's right.
She didn't. He did.
That's exactly right. He did himself.
He did himself in.
Because he beat his wife. So.
Josh says, dear panel, great show this morning. It's worth noting that two polls have now shown Pete Buttigieg as a front runner in Iowa. It's time we gave him respect of correct pronunciation, and I'm sure this is to me, Buttigieg.
Buttigieg. Say it.
Buttigieg.
Yeah, there you go.
Can you say the president of Turkey now, Alan? You got enough
Erdogan.
Letters.
Erdogan.
Yes.
But where's the W in the spelling?
It's not. The G is funny in Turkish.
So I plead W-ness.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, good.
Lou says, boomer. Hey, panel, is a boomer. I want the kid. Go, Pete. The country needs the minds of youth, as we did in the 60s. Boomer Lou in Saugerties.
How old is Buttigieg?
37, yeah. And he heads a city that the entire population could be squeezed into a football stadium, and that has become the concern that a lot of people
okay,
have.
Okay, you know, I think that's unfair.
I wonder if
you know,
it is.
They said, they said the same thing about Sarah Palin. She had no experience. Yeah. She was a governor of a state. I mean, if you're a mayor—
What, are you claiming that she
helped? Yeah, but there's more
them?
People in two neighborhoods of Brooklyn than in Alaska.
What I'm saying is that's an unfair criticism of Buttigieg to say he's the mayor of a little city.
It's absolutely fair.
I'm not criticizing Buttigieg. I'm saying that is the line. A lot of them are getting pretty defensive about him doing so well, and they're trying to poo-poo it because he doesn't have enough experience.
Yeah, how many of them served in Afghanistan?
Okay, I want you poo-poo it.
I think
okay,
it's
hang
remarkable.
On.
I
Rosemary,
want you poo-poo it. It deserves to be poo-pooed.
Yes,
he is
poo-poo
not
it.
Ready to be president because he has not had enough experience.
Was Barack Obama
and
ready?
Palin, no, he wasn't. And I've said that repeatedly. He would have been a better president if he knew better how to deal with Congress. And Sarah Palin, you're going to use her as a... Oh, yeah. She had lots of... She was great.
She was a governor
no,
of the state.
No, he is
she had
not ready
experience.
To be president.
Yes.
You have to at least run a big city. Before
Rosemary
you get to be president.
Well, how big is a big enough city for Rosemary?
New York City.
That means that
so
Kathy
Bloomberg
Sheehan,
is in?
The mayor of Albany,
Bloomberg
would
is
qualified for president under this.
Bloomberg is qualified. Whether or not you support him is a whole different matter.
Boy,
but as
feisty.
Far as qualifications, yes.
Your friends
Buttigieg
are here, and that's why you're all you're
no,
you're
it's
really
because you're
revved
provoking.
Up. You know
me.
What? I'm tired of this, Rosemary.
I want
what's the
Joe
next
back.
Letter?
Okay.
Oh my
Susan's
God! Two are scorned lovers.
Panel. Go ahead, be moderate. Continue endless wars. Have a worn-down Green Deal with everything going on. I feel the moderate approach is outdated. What's the fear of making some real change? So, in other words, Barack Obama in his remarks was wrong in suggesting that Americans, you know, were basically centrist. And if you want to beat Trump, you have to have a centrist candidate.
Well, Michael Bloomberg allegedly or supposedly will announce this week that he's running on Sunday. He apologized for his longstanding support of the controversial stop and frisk police strategy ahead of the potential run. Addressing a black church in Brooklyn, Bloomberg said he was sorry and acknowledged it often led to the detention of blacks and Latinos. I can't change history, Bloomberg told the congregation. However, today I want you to know that I realize back then I was wrong.
I think it takes a big person to apologize, although it seems politically timed and disingenuous, and it's, I think, being heard that way by many black leaders.
I hope that's not true. He is a data guy and an analyst, and the data was there at the time he was mayor showing that Latinos and blacks were disproportionately affected, and he should have paid attention. He should apologize for that. Not for trying a policy that at the time actually was supported by some black leaders, but that when the data began coming in that he supposedly pays attention to, he didn't heed it, and that apology was deserved.
But Rosemary, the question here is what was the motivation for the apology?
Yeah, just as recently as a year ago, he was defending it strongly, the stop and frisk policy that disproportionately impacted blacks and Latinos. And so this change is coinciding with his preparation to run for the Democratic nomination. It just seems the timing is that it's not genuine. He may be completely genuine. And, you know, it's refreshing to hear someone say, I was wrong and I apologize. You never would hear that from the current occupant of the White House.
We have a society that demands apologies, although you are right about Trump not ever giving it. Did we believe that Tiger Woods' apology, for example, was sincere? Or was that only for his image? Do we believe? Name anybody else who's apologized in public.
Prince Andrew, do we believe his?
Prince Andrew, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Exactly.
No, I digress.
No. It's
Rosemary,
true.
I apologize for being mean to you.
Oh.
Karen writes, Elise Stefanik. Dear panel, Elise shouldn't be allowed to be a representative of New York 21. She's a carpetbagger installed by the GOP apparatus. She didn't live in the district when first elected. She used her parents' summer home address as her residence. She doesn't live there now. She lives full-time in D.C. Now, let me just say, Karen, for whatever it's worth, having done a little service as an intern in Congress all those years ago, they all live in Washington,
They all moved to Washington.
Well, she has a legal residence in Schuylerville now, which is in her district.
Right.
And, you know, it is not required by law that a congressperson in New York State live in their district.
No, but that is her, you're right, Mike. That is her legal.
As a Hillary supporter, it's hard to rail against carpetbaggers. I thought she was good for New York. Okay. I don't think Elise is, but her supporters do. So
thank you
for that,
Karen. Ginger writes, Kurt Volker, why isn't it being discussed that Kurt Volker profited from Javelin sales? What's the backstory? The Republican has highlighted Trump administration for providing these missiles, but how many dollar profited? And Stefanik, she's coming off as Jim Jordan's stooge. It's repulsive how she disrupts and disrespects the judicial process. And Ginger from Walden, New York.
The email address here is panel@wamc.org. Panel@wamc.org. A reminder that tomorrow, probably Wednesday, probably Thursday, there will be hearings and we will not be on. But you never know. Things could change. They could change the schedule, right?
Yeah. They could.
So I guess we're on hold until we hear. Right? Yeah. Yes.
So nobody here is buying the Bloomberg apology then?
I think he probably does see the data, and he may have had a turn of his view of what his actions did. And I regard it as sincere, and I accept it at face value. I don't think that the black community is. They want to see more proof, and maybe he'll be able to demonstrate that as he goes forward.
For those who don't remember, stop and frisk gave police authority to detain people they suspected of committing a crime. Bloomberg aggressively pursued the tactic when he first took over as mayor in 2002. Was it 2002? Under the program, New York City police officers made it a routine practice to stop and search multitudes of mostly black and Hispanic men to see if they were carrying weapons. And
the interesting thing was that while blacks and Latinos were stopped up to 9 times more, they were not arrested at any higher rates.
Right.
So
we were talking about the word intimidation
exactly,
before, weren't we?
Exactly. Yeah, it was bad, and that was something that should be apologized
and
for. It was an attempt to deal with a big, terrible problem, which is nice, but it didn't work and it wasn't stopped fast enough.
But also, unlike now, where he has a need for black voters, potential black voters, he was playing to a different constituency back then, and it worked for him.
No, interesting. Other candidates here in the Democratic field, I mean, Biden was part of that crime bill that targeted crack users, I think. It was much stiffer sentences.
Right. Yeah.
That has been controversial. And Buttigieg also has some issues as well.
You guys want to look again at the film The Candidate with Robert Redford?
Right.
In which the campaign manager, the brilliant campaign manager, says in the beginning, get all the bad stuff out of the way right away. And that is exactly what is going on here right now.
What do you think Deval Patrick's strategy is now, given the late date at which he entered this race?
The horrible rollout, too, might we add.
Why do you say that?
He did not do well. Would you have said that, watching how he came out?
She's asking Libby Post, political consultant.
I didn't think it was that bad.
Me neither.
I thought it was tempered and shows who he is. He's Obama-like, and that's what I think he wanted to show. I didn't think it was a bad rollout. What were you expecting, a marching band?
No, I was expecting a reason why he's running and something about Bain Capital. He's another millionaire running right now. How's he separated from the rest of the field? And then there was that stupid little quote about we're the party of the woke.
I think the Bain Capital thing is actually going to help him. I think
because this
is a country that respects millionaires. It's a country that respects money, I think it'll help him. Listen, I'm a devoted fan of the guy. I know him well, and I think highly of him. Again, I want to urge everybody at 1 o'clock on Thursday to listen to the interview with him and with his wife Diane and what he's gone through. Guy's a real romantic, a very decent fellow, I think he's in because he thinks they can't win other than his coming in. That's what I'm thinking.
Well, we'll see.
It may turn into an anybody but Trump election. Who knows?
Right, and that's what it will end up being in the long run. Anybody but Trump. You know, that's who we have to elect as long as they're on the Democratic line. I mean, Deval Patrick is a very—he formed a committee before said he wasn't going to do it. Now he's back in. I think he's a very attractive candidate for a lot of different people. And he, I could see a Patrick Buttigieg ticket.
If, listen, Libby, in my opinion, if the former president, Barack Obama, endorses him or even hints that he's the guy, he'll
that
win.
May happen. I don't think he can come out and endorse
no,
him.
No, not
but,
now.
But he may, by inference, suggest that he supports him as his number one choice. Yeah. Don't you think?
Boy, I don't get it. I don't get it. At Bain Capital, I'm doing good. I'm working for the same company that Mitt Romney did, and I'm doing good. I just talk about lack of authenticity.
Is there something specifically
he's black? He has to be poor.
Is there something specifically wrong with Bain Capital? Have they done? Are they connected to the Nazis? I mean, what's the problem with Bain Capital?
They throw companies out of business, lose jobs, all the things.
They're venture capitalists, right? Isn't that what they do?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what venture capitalists do.
Because he's black, he can't be an evil capitalist that I don't want to vote for.
Well, he made it quite clear that he was a capitalist, and said so. He said
he's never said no to that. He's never said.
I don't get the attractiveness of this
candidate. Bernie's now a millionaire, so big deal. Everybody who, if you want to run for something like this, you have to have some resources to start, and that's got to be your own.
Show of hands, who's a millionaire at this table?
What are you looking at me for?
Yeah. I don't see your hand shooting
Wait
up
a second.
There.
Is a millionaire somebody who makes $1 million every year?
No, that you have the money in the bank.
You have that many assets.
Well, I'm 78 years old. You get a pension, you know, from being a SUNY professor. Everybody who retires.
Oh,
and
that'll do it.
Oh. Hey, while we're on the topic, can I borrow a couple hundred?
I need some lunch money.
Yeah, it'd be nice. All right, what else do we want to talk about? We have a few minutes here. Anybody have anything in mind?
Well...
The president's trip to the hospital. Yeah,
all right. Well, have at it, Rosemary. You got 2 minutes. Go.
Well, I don't want to have at it. I want us to discuss it. Is it really a conspiracy theory, or should I not be suspicious that a man in his 70s with a weight problem and an eating problem and high anxiety and tons of pressure, such as we, none of us here know, makes an emergency trip to Walter Reed Hospital when his own White House is equipped with almost a mini hospital? That seems routine and normal to you? And, Alan, you go to lots of physicals. Are they in phases? Do you go to phase one at 9 o'clock at night at Walter Reed?
Well, if you're the president of the United States, presumably.
And this is not a man who tells the truth. So am I wrong not to believe this?
Are you right to speculate without having facts other than the fact that he went?
Well,
that's
she is
the question.
Not alone in her speculation. I mean, an awful lot of people's ears perked up when this thing happened. I think all of the things that that Rosemary has said, you know, will prove out to be very important.
Could be.
And if we only speculated on things we have all the facts on, this entire conversation today would be off the air.
You got that right. We'll be playing some music, some elevator music.
Yep.
That's great. Thanks, Rosemary, for that.
You're
Anybody
welcome.
Else have anything?
Well, his own press secretary did say Sunday that it was dangerous and to the country if the press does not believe her assertion that Trump was simply going to the hospital to get a few checkups as a preliminary to his annual
part
physical.
One.
That alone makes me want to
talk the middle
about
in
it.
The middle of the night.
Yeah.
Well, there's
I'm
less
sorry,
line, right?
Okay, so for those of us who have occasionally gone to emergency rooms in our lives.
Oh, here we go. Let's hear from the hypochondriac. I mean, go ahead.
Well, he didn't go to the emergency room. It's not been at least said that he has.
Well, presidents don't go to the emergency room.
Right.
Presidents make a call and say, acid reflux or whatever.
It could be anything, right? We won't find out. I'm sure that we'll find out.
Yeah, but I think Rosemary's recitation of the facts surrounding it was quite on target.
Well, let the record show that you agree with Rosemary here.
For once.
We never talked about Hong Kong today.
Yeah.
Is there any 30-second
sound
bite you can say about Hong Kong, anybody?
Well, I mean...
The president of China has now said that getting peace restored in Hong Kong is the number one concern of officials there. That ups everything. We've been speculating that it will get more dangerous, but that really changes it. And our president, by the way, our government, has not done anything in support of people who are risking their lives and their city for the sake of democracy.
These are the people who brought us these are the people who brought us Tiananmen. We know that. And who will, in the end... repress this in the most brutal way possible.
The court system. The court system there, I find fascinating because there was a court ruling that said, okay, it's all right for protesters in this case to wear masks, and I think that surprised me. You'd think that the court would say, no, no, you cannot wear masks in the protests. They're allowed to in this case, although in general the court said, yeah, wearing masks, it's not allowable. But in this case, we'll make an exception.
You've got to remember that Hong Kong is a democracy. And when they went over from under British control back in 1999, there was an agreement that for 50 years, nothing would change. And that's
two systems.
Yeah, that it would be two systems and it would be an evolution that would happen in 50 years, not right now. So it does. It is threatening a promise that was made by the Chinese leaders, and people are stepping up for democracy. It's kind of neat to see.
They know that the U.S. is not going to hold them. Britain is not going to hold them to their promises in the Hong Kong, so it's safe to. Can we do one more thing in the
minute? We have 1 minute.
What do you think of the president dropping his support of vaping? He was against it.
It's called business. It's called business.
It's coming to lobby on flavored vape products.
That's why. He's succumbing to business. He refuses to do anything.
The news has reported that he feels that by doing this, by staying with his anti-vaping, he'll lose votes.
Yeah.
Unquote.
Right. Even though 2 months ago he pointed out that his wife didn't want her son to be vaping. Which was also his son, and that's why he was going to.
We think.
Well.
Uh-oh.
But the.
Snap.
You know, he saw some political gain for being against it. Now he sees political loss for being against it.
Right. And he's also,
sort of like background checks.
Yeah.
First, he's for it, then he's against it.
He's also going to lose animal rights people votes because his administration is pushing, taking all information about puppy mills, breeders, all of that stuff that used to be public off of the Department of Agriculture website. They're gone. You can't get the information anymore. So you have no idea about how these animals are being treated. And so there's a whole constituency out there. Yes, I lobby for the New York State
Animal
Protection
Federation. Thank you for full disclosure.
Thank
you, Libby Post.
But there's a whole constituency of animal people out there who vote.
All right, everybody. This is it. We've had a great time. Sort of.
We had to squeeze a whole week in.
We had a time. Let's just put it that way.
We have an audience. We didn't get applause.
Wasn't that? You're right. Rosemary, and thank you. And your friends are applauding.
It's nice to be back.
All right, we're done here. Thanks to WMC's Alan Shartok, Libby Post, Rosemary Omeo, Mike Spain. Thank you for listening. Now, we will not be on tomorrow morning. Unless something changes, in which case we'll call Rosemary and her friends. We'll do a panel. But as of now, the hearings start at 9 a.m. tomorrow and on Wednesday, and we'll keep you posted about all the rest.
Friday, there'll be the Berkshire Ramblers at Cafe Lena.
Yeah, that's right.
At 8 o'clock.
All right, man. Hey, go tune up now. It'll take you a little while, all right?
Yeah, it's a beautiful space now.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.